2013 Week 2 NFL Handicapping Podcast with At Fairway J. Greetings, football fans. This is Fairway J. We're back for another season of Fairway Football Forecast with NFL. Glad to have you back for more this season. I'm going to start with a little recap from Week 1 and Thursday night's game between the Patriots and the Jets. Week 1 saw some interesting results, and I know it was a difficult opening week for many handicappers. I had a slightly winning week, had a couple tough results with Carolina, Atlanta, not being able to punch it in late, but those are going to happen through the course of the season. We saw some big upsets in terms of the point spread, really never in doubt. We saw the Titans win outright at Pittsburgh. Buffalo covers easily at New England. And we saw Oakland Raiders at Indianapolis. Actually had a good shot to win that, but they come up short, easily cover. And those were some results that many of the public were playing these big favorites. It's not uncommon to see these kind of results and kind of contrary looks. Let's see if we can make sure we're on some good sides. I felt I had a great week on being on the right sides. In week one, just missed with regards to Atlanta and Carolina. Otherwise, we have a big week. Let's keep it going here. As far as Thursday night NFL, I was not high at all on the Patriots coming into the season. They were the number one offense in the NFL last season, averaging 427 yards per game. But QB Brady lost 80% of his receiving yards from last year. We know Welker left. We know the Hernandez situation. And so, not surprising to me to see them come out of the gate against Buffalo a little, but last night against the Jets, another double-digit favorite for New England, and they hang on in the second half for a 13-10 win. They again don't cover, just 9 first downs for New England. They only rush for 54 yards. They allow the Jets to run for 129. If you followed me for years and years, you know that I talk about rushing guidelines, and if you're able to handicap that part of the contest, the point of attack play, who can run the ball better? Who can stop the run? You're well on your way to more point spread success. The Jets outgained New England 318 to 232. In fact, this potent, supposedly potent Patriots offense that many expected to come back strong this year, just 232 yards of offense and 3.6 yards per play. Clearly, the weather was a factor in the second half, especially as the rain was coming down. I tweeted some things out, thought the under was good, played it first half in game, and we get there. Let's see if we can come up strong here in week two. New England, I'll just comment on them again. 2-0 to start the season, but 0-2 against the spread. They're in for some tougher times ahead here. I think they caught some big breaks with two rookie quarterbacks in the opening 2 weeks in division play. But let's move forward. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Sunday week two early games. You're listening to the Vegas Sports Zone NFL Handicapping Podcast with At Fairway J. This is Fairway Jay, and thanks again for listening to my NFL podcast. For our podcast listeners, I'm offering an exclusive offer, my 3 top plays of the week in the NFL for just $39. For those of you who like to bet college football, I'm going to offer the same 3 top plays in college football for $39. We'll include sides, totals, and or teasers. Again, 3 top plays for just $39. I get a lot of requests for different opportunities in the top play club. Let's start with that this week. Good luck again this week and this season. Look forward to your support and continue listening to my NFL podcast. We're back. This is At Fairway J with the Week 2 NFL lines. Let's start at the top of the card. San Diego's at Philadelphia. The Eagles are a 6.5 to 7 point favorite. I think they're going to take some money here, and this is going to be a real good teaser play for me this week. The total has been bet up sharply. It's up to 54.5. In fact, it's 55 here in Las Vegas at the LVH Superbook in Las Vegas. Let's look at some results from last week. Not overreact to 1 week, but let's look at what happened. In week one, the Eagles, we all saw it on Monday night, just exploded on offense under new head coach Chip Kelly and this spread offense. They ran the ball 49 times last week. That is just remarkable. 49 rushes in a game. Very impressive. Extremely impressive. 263 yards on the ground. Vic leads the way. Throws the early pick six. We've seen that plenty of times, but comes back strong. The Eagles dominate and put up 443 yards of offense, almost 6 yards per play, and Coach Kelly pulled in the reins in the second half. The score was not as close. 33-27 result was not as close as that game was. We all saw it. And I think the Eagles, if you just look at the rushing guidelines, they're in good again here this week. And I'm going to be on them, and this is why. I just feel they'll control the line of scrimmage. this may be one of the toughest situational games for a team all of the NFL season. San Diego comes off a Monday night game as well. They were outgained on the ground 120-80 by the Texans. We had an opinion on the Texans Monday night. Didn't get there, but certainly the stats provided and should have come through. 449 at 6 yards of play for the Texans. San Diego just 263 and 5.2 yards per play. The turnovers were even, but now San Diego loses 31-28, blows it in the fourth quarter, allowing 17 points, and now have to travel through three time zones to Philadelphia, who played nearby at Washington Monday night, so not as big of an issue for them. This looks like another game where I think you ride the momentum here, and most importantly, the line of scrimmage play. I think Philadelphia really controls it. If they have the kind of success they expect on the ground and in the running game, they should win and cover this. You know, Philadelphia, we certainly know last year, I believe they're 0-8 against the spread at home last year. They really struggled. This is their home opener. The Fanatic fans are going to be there for Philly. We know how explosive they showed Monday night. They're excited for this team. Let's take a look at Philadelphia this week. Next game up, Cleveland at Baltimore, game 197-198. The Ravens are a 6 and 6.5 point favorite in places. The total here is 43.5. And if you look at, again, the results last week, the Ravens get 10 days of rest for this game. I wasn't big on Baltimore coming in. In fact, I thought they were one of the flukiest Super Bowl winners in at least a decade, I'd probably say. Remember last December, they were struggling mightily on defense, really had to win two games late in the season just to get in the playoffs, and then they make the remarkable run behind Flacco, 11-0 touchdown to interception ratio in the playoffs, but they were outgained in their games on their way to a Super Bowl title. Now they've come back here after just getting annihilated at Denver. This defense has really been turned over here with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis obviously gone this season, and they allow Peyton Manning to pass for 445 and 7 touchdowns opening night. They get the extra rest here against the division foe, and most will look at Cleveland that didn't look good in their opener. Head coach Chudzinski steps in here. North Turner's the offensive coordinator, and quarterback Whedon didn't perform well enough. I think the most surprising thing to me in week one was that the Cleveland Browns had the fewest rushes of any team last week in week one. They ran the ball just 13 times with Richardson. That's surprising. They only got 47 yards on the ground. They held the Dolphins to 20 yards rushing, and yet Miami was able to win that game 23-10 at Cleveland. They've got to go on the road here. I expect Cleveland to play much better here. I think, you know, historically against the spread, you see a lot of positives for Baltimore in this role, coming off rest and at home and their home opener, but I'm not buying it yet. I think Cleveland comes back and bounces back here. I'd probably look to a little less scoring than expected, and the Browns defense to play well, slow down Baltimore enough. 6.5 is a pretty big number here. I know a lot of people that prefer teasers are going to look at Baltimore maybe teasing them down. I'd be careful with that. Consider the Browns here. And if you just can't get up for these bad teams, look at week one results, and you'll have to take some contrary approach when needed. This is a division game, and I think maybe closer to the vest. More ground game this week in Baltimore. Game 199-200. Tennessee is at Houston. And we saw a nice upset win by the Titans in week one. We're going to find out this week if that was a function of the Steelers' ineptitude and their completely revamped offensive line that the Titans were able to control, or if they're going to be able to go on the road here in a key division game for them as well. 9.5 point underdog at Houston. The total here is 42.5, 43 in a lot of places now. And again, if we get to the ground game, I think you're going to see quite a bit of that in this contest, with Chris Johnson and Arian Foster both carrying a pretty big load. You look at the Texans put up 120 on the ground last week at San Diego. They come off a shorter week. And while my initial look was thinking, God, this is a lot of points considering how good Tennessee looked in week one and shutting down the Steelers for the 16-9 win, the reality was that They only had 229 yards of offense at 3.6 yards per play. And I think you have to know and understand that the Steelers are just not near what we thought. Their defense is still going to be strong, I think, under Dick LeBeau. But that offensive line for the Steelers completely revamped. And as it turns out, now the Tennessee look pretty good defensively. But now they go against, obviously, the stellar defensive line and defense overall of the Texans. For their home opener, the running game's intact. Houston expected by many to be a Super Bowl contender. I like him in that role. I've been riding them the last couple seasons. Head coach Kubiak for Houston is better than a 67% ATS play of late. I think they're about 12-5 going back further as home chalk. Not afraid to lay it. Teaser players, be careful here. If you tease down to 3.5, it's not the way I'm going to look. I'm going to take a pass right now on this game. I think the line is awfully big in a division contest. If it plays out that Houston is able to control the line of scrimmage, they win. I'm just not sure they cover because I think Tennessee will still, their defense showed enough last week to be pretty impressive to keep this one fairly competitive this week. Game 201 and 202, Miami travels to the Dome in Indianapolis to play the Colts. Indianapolis is a 2-point home favorite with the total at 43.5. Obviously, many were surprised to see Indianapolis escape against the Raiders here at home last week as a double-digit favorite. Not surprising here. It's a lot of contrary. The Raiders expected to be so bad, but they actually outgained this Indianapolis team last week. 372 to just 274 yards offense for the Colts last week. Andrew Luck under 150 yards passing, surprising to most. They were the beneficiary of a +2 in the turnover column. The Colts did not turn the ball over. Now they're going to play a Miami team that I think defensively is pretty strong, and surprising to see the Dolphins not be able to get their ground game untracked last week. The lowest rushing total of the week for Miami, just 20 yards rushing. They're still able to get the win. They use ball control. And I think that's the MO of this Dolphins coaching staff. If I posted some things up on Vegas Sports Zone and through my Twitter account, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Fairway J, because there were some details on one of the columnists they posted about the depth and look at this Dolphins team in this week. Indianapolis running back Ballard is out for this contest. You're going to see some injuries here as well. Be sure to check those out. But I think Indianapolis shows better here. They're now 9-0 straight up in games decided by a touchdown or less with quarterback Luck at the helm. He's been able to pull them through in close contests. They had to adjust, that being Indy last week, to QB Pryor, not knowing much about him and his dual threat. Not the case this week with Tannehill, but I expect this to be maybe a little less scoring than expected in the Dome, despite no weather issues. I think Miami maybe on a teaser, you get them up to 8. They're maybe didn't show their best either as well, so I expect them to play better. And yet, they're on the road the opening two games. The Colts are at home. Tough call for me. It seems like a relatively cheap number if Indianapolis plays a little better and as expected, but no play yet here on this contest. I think we'll watch and see how the stats start to play out. On to game 203 and 204, also an early start, 10 o'clock Pacific time from Buffalo, where the Bills are a 3-point home underdog to Carolina. This line surprised me when it came out, but now as I've looked and evaluated a little bit more, we're getting inside the trenches and at the ground at point of attack. Carolina last week driving for the go-ahead score late in the game, trailing 12-7 inside of 5 minutes to go, and D'Angelo Williams rattles off a 16-yard run only to fumble inside the Seattle 8-yard line, costing us a chance for even a field goal, gets us the cover. But they come up short 12-7, but still have to be pretty impressed with the Panthers. They averaged 5 yards per carry, 124 on the ground last week against one of the top defenses in the NFL. While they only put up 243 on offense and Seattle had 370, I still was pretty impressed with Carolina. I like them this week to be able to have some success, because despite Buffalo's close loss in terms of the score against New England, they were outgained badly by the Patriots, 446 to 286. Buffalo just 4.5 yards per play behind their new quarterback, Manuel. And while they get the second straight game at home and probably come better here, I think you look at New England's result last night against the Jets, and you have to have some concerns for that offense. And the reality was that the Patriots turned it over 3 times The Bills just were not very competitive with just 14 first downs. The score was close. They covered easily, but they got their work cut out here at the point of attack this week. I'd like the Carolina to bounce back. My initial look was Buffalo. Wow, they're a home dog. This, you know, if this game is in Carolina, that's telling you they'd be 8.5, 9-point favorites. But the Bills have a longer way to go in my mind. I think QB Cam Newton and the run-pass read option bounces back here against a Buffalo defense that allowed, again, New England to run for 158 last week. If it plays out at the point of attack and the turnovers are clean, Carolina probably gets the win here, but I've talked many times about Buffalo being one of the tougher places to play in the NFL for young quarterbacks. Cam Newton going up in here his third year should be just fine, I think, in this environment. Buffalo's the team that still has some changes in the coaching staff and schemes and not quite on track yet with the quarterback play. They'll need the running game to go as well. Carolina probably gets this win this week. St. Louis at Atlanta, key game here. And looking at this, game 205-206, Atlanta's laying 6. In fact, I see some 5.5 here at Chris out in Vegas. Let me just double-check the lines for you here in Vegas. We're seeing 6, and in fact, 6.5. So again, shop here, especially if you like St. Louis. We know that second-year head coach Fisher for the Rams here, 7-1 against the spread away, and a tremendous over 70% role as an underdog. That's the first way you look. They weren't as sharp. They had to escape last week against Arizona. Clearly, there were some question marks with the overall play of St. Louis last week. But I think, again, this week they show a little bit better. The interesting note about this contest is that former Rams running back Steven Jackson is now playing for the Atlanta Falcons, and I think he'll be used much more in this contest. Atlanta only ran the ball 14 times last week, and I've said all along, while they've got tremendous outside weapons, tight end, and great quarterback in Ryan, this offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, doesn't balance the attack. They're just not going to have enough success to beat some of the top teams. They certainly have the offensive weapons, and this is a great situation for Atlanta, who head coach Smith is 18-4 against the spread off a loss. So they always bounce back seemingly well under him when they come off a loss. I had the Falcons last week. Again, another team that's driving late for the go-ahead score against Atlanta, against the Saints in New Orleans. They come up short 23-17, catching 3.5. Had a lot of success through the air last week, but they gave up quite a few yards through the air. Like I said, I think this comes back and it's a little tighter to the vest. I think there's more balance and more running in this game. If you're looking at totals, when we start to get up in this range, 46.5, 47 in places, you got to have both teams participate. And if this is played on the ground, maybe a little less scoring than I expected. I'm going to see if I can get the Rams 6.5 and even 7 maybe at game time. We'll see where the money comes. But Atlanta is clearly on their home field, has been a strong play in recent seasons. Another early start, Washington at Green Bay, and we see the Packers are a 7-point home favorite, total getting up there, 49.5. It's been up a little bit, and again, this looks like a real tough situation for Washington. They come off a Monday night division game where they performed poorly. RG3 stats looked good for the game, but so much of that was done when they're trailing 33-7 in the second half, and that's where you have to evaluate what is real stats. I often talk about passing stats can especially be skewed, and that was the case last week as they came from behind, had to open up. They had to get away from their game plan, and we know that Coach Shanahan and his offensive coordinator's son, Kyle Shanahan, rely on that zone running game to have success, and they just got out of it early in that game last week. And now they're going to go against another high-potent profile and terrific offensive aerial attack with QB Rodgers leading Green Bay. And I think the Redskins are in trouble. And I think most of the public's going to feel that way as well. But the reality is there are some real situational things that line up from a contrary perspective, an ATS perspective. Not only is Coach Shanahan 21-14 against the spread as underdog going back, and equally as solid on the road. There's some situational things that would point to a bounce back, but I think the situation of the schedule, going to Green Bay, who performed well at San Francisco, comes up short and actually misses the cover late 34-28 last week against the 49ers. But Green Bay puts up 385 yards of offense against a solid defense with 6.6 yards per play. The problem was, again, the Packers give up over 500, almost 500 yards of offense, but that's against a very explosive and balanced, strong 49ers attack. I'm not sure if Coach Shanahan's just not taking the wraps off of RG3 because of the injury last year, and they're a little sensitive with him in letting him loose. But I don't like the matchup here despite the running game potentially. I think Washington goes a lot more to the ground game this week. But again, we saw that if they fall behind, there's some real question marks. Green Bay looks like a good play to me, and teasers especially, include them, teasing them down to one. And I'm not afraid here situationally to match up and see Green Bay perform very well at home this week. Got a couple more early starts. Dallas at Kansas City, game 209 and 210. The Chiefs are a 3-point home favorite, 46.5 the total. I was bullish on Dallas coming into the season. Didn't show real well in week one. They get the win. I had them Sunday night, took advantage of a 6-1 turnover differential, all sorts of problems with the Giants turning the ball over last week. The Cowboys did give up 8.1 yards per play and almost 480 yards of offense. But again, they took advantage of their turnovers. Monty Kiffin comes in, and we didn't see these kind of turnovers in the last couple years out of Dallas. They took advantage. They win this game last week, and they force the Giants to play from behind and really pass the ball. So while the turnovers skewed the stats a little bit in terms of the outcome, and you may not feel that Dallas was at their best, I think this week they certainly show better. They go on the road against one of the most improved teams probably in the league this year. Kansas City, a lot expected them, but now they got to lay the 3 here. And I think there's going to be some support both ways in this game. I know Kansas City is going to get some support off of their impressive win last week. Granted, that was against the Jaguars, but it was on the road, 28-2, and they still offensively, even with Alex Smith at quarterback now for them, they only put up 291 yards of offense at 4.6 yards per play. Their defense showed well, but Gabbert was just awful for the Jacksonville last week. Of course, he's out this week, and Henny steps in, but I think you got to be careful with Kansas City now laying points, because I think Dallas is better defensively. I think they're very beat up and unhealthy coming down the stretch last season defensively. Their change looked very positive with their players attacking the ball last week against the Giants. I think they're plenty capable and skilled enough. I believe overall they're better than Kansas City, and you're getting a full field goal, but I know this home field and this crowd's going to be raucous here at Arrowhead for their opener as well. So we'll evaluate this one further, look at the injuries, double check all the weather coming in through the weekend, and have plays out as well. Last game of the early session, 211 and 212, Minnesota visits Chicago and Soldier Field. The Bears are a 5.5-point favorite, 41.5, 42 the total on this one. I expect a lower-scoring game. As QB Ponder showing, he just cannot be trusted with the Vikings. 3 turnovers for the Vikes last week. They go on Detroit. Go on the road to Detroit. They jump out early. AP Peterson has a tremendous breakaway run for a touchdown of almost 80 yards. But after that, Detroit shut him down with their strong defensive line playing. I think the Bears here can do similar, at least contain. The biggest thing about the Vikings I noticed last week was they were actually outrushed by Detroit in that contest. And we expect so much from the ground game with the Vikings, but they've just got to get better balance, better quarterback play. Their defensive line is solid and strong and probably can keep them in a number of games. I'm just not certain. I think the one thing I came away impressed with the Bears' victory last week against Cincinnati was Mark Trestman, the new coach, and the coaching staff made some great adjustments, I thought, at halftime. They were in that game last week against Cincinnati. It was a push in terms of the spread. The Bears went 24-21. The yardage was nearly even, 340 for the Bengals, 323. And the Bengals actually outgained them in terms of yards per play at 6.2 to 5.3. But second half adjustments, real solid by Trestman to help that Bears team get the win. And certainly the Bengals are a stronger opponent than the Vikings here coming in. I think the Bears are going to be in for a solid year. I thought that coming in, 10 wins was realistic again for back-to-back years. And I think they win this game this week. They don't turn the ball over. Minnesota, just all sorts of concern. I played them under the total for season wins. I think they maximized what they were capable of getting last week with a 4-0 finish, getting to 10 wins in the playoff. But Ponder just hasn't developed. I think he's going to ultimately be capable and shown, but he hasn't done it yet. This offensive line, a few questions. Despite Adrian Peterson's breakout, incredible year last year for over 2,000 yards, we saw him held to under 1,000 last or 100 yards last week at the Detroit. They go on the road here back-to-back weeks. I look for the Bears to win and likely get the cover if they're turnover-free this week. Let's take a break. Come back with the afternoon games in just a moment. You're listening to the Vegas Sports Zone NFL Handicapping Podcast with Fairway Jay. This is Fairway Jay, and thanks again for listening to my NFL podcast. For our podcast listeners, I'm offering an exclusive offer for those of you that sign up for weekly, monthly, or seasonal packages. For our podcast listeners, I'm offering a 25% discount. Simply go to VegasSportsZone.com and register. Click the members section. It's free to register. And in the discount code box, type in 25 off, and you'll get 25% off those subscriptions. Look forward to your support and continue listening to my NFL podcast. Okay, we're back for the afternoon games, the late afternoon games for week two of the NFL season. This is Fairway Jay with your NFL handicapping podcast. Continued game 213, game 214. Key division game here. New Orleans travels to Tampa Bay, and the Saints are laying 3 points, minus 120 in a lot of places. The total is 47. The Saints, obviously, head coach Peyton's back in the fold this week. They get a big, big opening week win against Atlanta. Had the Falcons last week. Thought the Saints would have a real strong effort, and they did. 419 total yards at 6.3 yards per play. But their defense, one of the all-time worst in NFL history last year, still allowed the Falcons 367 at 6.7 yards per play. They were able to get two turnovers by the Falcons. And ultimately pull out the 23-17 win. I think on the surface, you look at this game this week, and there's going to be some support for New Orleans, especially after Tampa Bay, one of the biggest blunders I think you'll see in that late personal foul penalty by the Buccaneer defender that cost them a shot to beat the Jets last week. How do they bounce back this week? I know there's a lot of support for that player by his teammates and even the coaches, but man, you just cannot make those kind of mistakes in a 16-game schedule and ultimately be able to, the one-game difference come the end of the season is the difference between making the playoffs and not. But Tampa Bay's got to bounce back here, and I think they'll have some success against this New Orleans defense that even though they've brought in Rob Ryan, they've got a long ways to go, and I'm not going to lay points here with a team on the road in a division game with that putrid defense, even if you've got Drew Brees and this offense showing capability. If the running game plays out and the Bucs are able to get the running game on track, which I think will be much better this week. They only ran 65 yards last week. They did run it 25 times, and I think they'll really pound it this week against the New Orleans defense. And if that plays out and they're able to control the ball clock and change, I think they'll have a shot here at the home upset. The problem I think a lot of people will point to from an ATS perspective is that they don't like to back this Tampa Bay team at home in division games, especially. They're only 4-15 against the spread as a home underdog, and that's surprising. You don't see those kind of poor results for home underdogs against a team that's been pretty good, but at least decent for Tampa Bay. And usually you see that from very poor, bottom-tier teams, but Tampa Bay is not that. Freeman's in a contract year here. I think he's going to have some success through the air and balance the attack. Will they be able to slow down the quarterback Breeze, who passed for over 340 yards last week in that victory? It was pretty one-sided attack, and I talked about that often. There's not enough balance by this New Orleans offense, and now against the Tampa Bay defense, that I think will perform pretty well here. I'm going to look at the Bucs here as a home underdog. Note that this New Orleans team has no problem going to this site, and in fact, on the road, they performed well. 4-1 against the spread the last five as they travel to Tampa. I'm not buying it this week. You can play all the momentum you want. This is, to me, is a contrary look at the Bucs. And I think you tease this up to 9 and are feeling pretty good. The Bucs bounce back. If they can get over that emotional hurdle, they come back good here in division play. 215 and 216 game numbers. Detroit travels to the desert and plays Arizona. The Lions are laying 1.5 on the road. The total is 47.5. Was pretty impressed with Detroit able to come back last week. Statistically, they performed much better than the Vikings, 352 passing yards. They had over 100 rushing for 469 yards of offense and over 6 yards per play. That's impressive in a division game. We saw a lot of one-sided passing attack last year by Detroit. It got them nowhere, 4-12, a lot of close losses last season. I expected them to come strong and much better this year, and they showed it out of the gate. And this is one where I think the momentum does carry through. They are favored here in usually a tough environment. Historically, we've seen Detroit go down here and lay eggs, but this offense, I think, has too much talent, too much skill, and the ability against an Arizona team that's obviously got new coaching personnel, some changes, and most importantly, again, last week, you look and they allowed Sam Bradford to pass for almost, in fact, 299, almost 300 yards last week at St. Louis. They had the victory in hand but couldn't pull it out as St. Louis rallies and gets the late win. There was some pretty good play overall by Arizona, and clearly their offense is much improved with Palmer stepping in here. Carson Palmer now at quarterback. They bring in Mendenhall. They go very deep at running back. Wide receiver Fitzgerald's going to have a much better success in season. Won't be surprised to see this be a shootout here in the desert, but I expect Detroit to come out with a victory, and the biggest thing in the trenches to me is the advantage that Detroit has on the defensive side of the ball. This defensive line is one of the better ones in the NFL, and they go very deep. They're very strong. Monica Sue got fine, $100K, no big deal to him. He's still going to perform well, and I think overall this defense is going to be much better this year for Detroit. We see the offensive balance now with Bush in the backfield. LeSure can still bring it in short yardage. A lot of offensive weapons, and I think that'll overwhelm ultimately this Arizona team who's still in transition under new coaching staff. Detroit goes on the road. I expect a victory by the Lions this week. Game 217 and 218, Jacksonville visits Oakland in probably the least watched game of the week to many. The Raiders are laying 5.5 against the Jags. The total's 39.5, 40 in places. Again, wow, you got an Oakland team laying 5.5 points. That can never be a good recipe. I've had questions about this coaching staff, the direction they're going. QB Prior looked pretty good at times last week, but again, at quarterback, you just cannot make the mistakes, and the turnovers are just proved costly. He can put up all the stats he wants and run for 100 yards and pass for 200 if he wants, and that being Prior or any other quarterback like that. But if you turn the ball over, you're going to cost your team. And he took responsibility, Terrell Prior did. Doesn't help him in the win column. And now this week, good luck to you if you want to lay 5.5. I don't care how bad Jacksonville is. I'm not laying it with Oakland, despite a very impressive running game last week for the Raiders at Indianapolis. There were some real positives coming out, not only Terrell Pryor's play, but really the running attack last week for the Raiders as they go for 171 on the ground, kept very consistent, 33 rushes, but of course Terrell Prior was some of that. I think Jacksonville very flat and obviously in their home opener, and this is one of the worst teams in the NFL. It's hard for many bettors to support these kind of bad teams, so pick your poison here. But the reality is I think that Maurice Jones-Drew has some rushing success against a defensive front of Oakland that did allow almost 5 yards per carry despite some not strong results by the Colts in terms of running for yardage last week. I think you have to look for them to be able to not have as much success slowing down this running game of the Jaguars. Quarterback Henning's going to step in here. That's probably a good thing, as Gabbert had stitches in his hand, looked absolutely terrible last week. I think Henning will be an improvement for them. We're seeing the total being bet down. I agree with that, but take your pick here if you want either bad team, but I'm not laying it with Oakland this week. Last game of the late afternoon session, game 219 and 220, Denver travels to New York to face the Giants in the Meadowlands. Big QB battle here, of course, between the Manning brothers. Peyton Manning, 7 touchdown passes last Thursday night in the opener. We had the over in that game, and this one's being bet up as well. It's up to 55 for a total, and we're seeing money initially open a little higher, but we're seeing Denver laying 4.5 and 5 in a lot of places here. In Vegas, 4 across offshore. This is an interesting look because if you ride the momentum, you're going to come in with Denver, but you're going to pay a tax here on doing so. It's based on 1 week results, Denver looking so good. The Giants really miserable in terms of turnovers, a real poor offensive and defensive line play. Clearly the impact of the turnovers affected them. They put up a lot of yardage, but we've seen so many times, especially quality teams, and the Giants would be in that role of teams bouncing back. And head coach Coughlin has his team here maybe at an early season crossroads. If they drop to 0-2, there's going to be a lot of issues, and they're facing one of the toughest teams, obviously, in the NFL. It's going to be difficult to do that. But note that the G-men are 4-0 straight up and against the spread at home, off a loss as of late. The value in terms of the line is with them. I'm not quite there yet to be able to get on them and support, because I'm going to read and dig a lot more. I just think in the trenches, the Broncos have the better of it. They can balance it out. Peyton Manning clearly has shown that he's in top form right away early this season. He showed a lot of strength with his receivers. He's on cue. He's got Wes Welker immediately in the mix. Tremendous receiving core. And I think the running game with Sean Marino showing pretty good in week one, and the rookie ball being able to balance it out, I think they're going to have some success. So I'm not willing to go betting into a high total that's being bet up, but let's evaluate this one further. Denver, clearly the stronger team in the early season. If you like the momentum, you ride them. But history has shown we see quality teams bounce back like the Giants. Let's go to the Sunday night game, the marquee NFL game of the week, a division contest, game 221 and 222. San Francisco travels to Seattle, where the Seahawks are a 3-point home favorite. The total's 44. Seattle was the only team last season in the NFL to go 8-0 straight up at home. In fact, they dominated teams on their home field. One and covered, it was a common occurrence, and even while the point spreads were being adjusted, this team just kept rolling and winning, and many expect him to keep that up here, but this, as long as it's a clean game for both teams in terms of the turnover, I still prefer the San Francisco side. Seattle does have the stronger defense, and I posted some things up in an article about San Francisco not only allowing quite a few yards and points yards per play against Green Bay, one of the best offenses last week, but coming down the stretch last season, and especially in the playoffs, San Francisco defense wasn't nearly as strong. They've obviously had a few personnel changes, but this is still a solid unit. The difference to me is San Francisco's offense is not only still very, very strong, but it's even better this year in looking at the balance that they're going to show. I think quarterback Kaepernick, wow, what a weapon he is. Passed for over 400 last week, and I still think he's better and more in control and has clearly the stronger offense than Seattle. Note that the Seahawks ran the ball more than any team in the NFL last year. And while you like Russell Wilson and the job he did last year, it's still a conservative approach. I like it. I like it from a betting perspective. They've got very strong defensive play, extremely good in the secondary with the Sherman able to match up. He'll probably be on Bolden throughout this contest. But offensively, it's a remedy for success. Good, strong defensive play, slow the run, have great secondary play as well. And then on offense, you run the ball, you control the ball, clock and change. I love it from a points bet perspective, but now they're matched up against a team that I think is better. San Francisco has a tremendous offensive attack, as noted. I think that their balance can ultimately wear down a little bit the Seattle defense. And again, I noted that Carolina averaged 5 yards per rush last week in the win. Seattle's going to have to score to keep pace. Usually I'd look in a defensive battle with these type of teams in a division game. I'd look under, but I still have some thoughts that this offense of San Francisco and what the Seahawks did last year on this field, dominating this team. I think 42-13 was the final. Remember, San Francisco won 13-6 over Seattle in San Fran. So the dichotomous results in terms of offense and defense in those two games in the site. Tough to go against Seattle here on their strong home field, the 12th man in play, Sunday night game, marquee, but San Francisco's the side. If I'm going to support any, it's going to be that this week, as I think they're the better team getting points. And oftentimes in the NFL, when you have one of the best teams and you're able to play them in an underdog role, I'll look that way. All right, Monday night, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Look for my write-up and some thoughts on that this week. I don't go over the Monday night game on the podcast. Last year, I had a lot of write-ups on Monday nights for free. We're going to try to get back to some of that. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, @FairwayJ. Send your comments and questions, anything about the site, VegasSportsZone.com, and about service packages. You can email FairwayJ@gmail.com, and again on Twitter, @FairwayJ. Let's have some good results this week as well in the NFL. We're off a real solid winning season, and of course, have had tremendous success going back for the past decade, and I look to continue that this week. Hope you like the podcast. Be sure to follow the RSS feed in the upper right corner of the Vegas Sports Zone site, and send your comments along the way. Look forward to being back here for week 3 next week. Until then, You're listening to the Vegas Sports Zone NFL Handicapping Podcast with @FairwayJ. Good luck this week.